Welcome to Beautiful Chaos. I'm Erin Clark, and today we are wrapping up a three-part series where I'm just sharing stories about my life in my 16th year. It was a lot. A lot happened in that year, a lot of pivotal things that made me who I am today for better and probably for worse in many ways too. I found healing in all of these areas and I'm just so thankful for the protection that was over me, even amidst situations that could have been terribly worse. So if you are somebody who is struggling in an area from your past or present, I highly recommend that you seek guidance, help, take it to Jesus, ask a friend to come alongside you, go seek counseling, whatever it might be. So I had had the experience with Dr. H, went through all of that, and then went to Germany for a three-month exchange that only lasted 2 months. I'd come home feeling pretty defeated. I didn't see all the blessings that, all the positive things of the things that I learned and how strong I was. I just saw myself as a failure coming home. So I came home and I was feeling pretty low. Immediately after returning, I began a new job at a local fast food restaurant. So again, to put into context, these three experiences happened within 6 month period. So I start working at this local fast food chain, and before heading to one of my shifts, I threw on my freshly laundered uniform and ran out the door. I was scheduled to work in the back making cakes, so no one was going to see me. The owner was a nice man, but he liked things done to his standards, which were often extremely unreasonable. He had cameras over the whole store, including the kitchen and the staff room. Just off the staff room, there was just this little powder room. He wanted to ensure, he used these cameras to ensure that his staff were always on point. And he, like, we would watch him sit and watch these videos. Like, they were tracking this stuff. So I was probably in 2 hours into a four-hour shift. When he came back to check on me, he commented that my uniform was wrinkled. I assured him that that could not be the case. I'm, like, looking down at it, not sure what he's talking about. I'm like, this is straight from the dryer, like, not sitting in the dryer like all my clothes do now. I wasn't a mom yet. They were straight from the dryer. They were fine. He began a speech on excellence and how I was a representation of him to his customers. I respectfully laughed and explained that I was working in the back. Literally, no customers had seen me that day and no customers would see me that day. Besides, I was halfway through my shift. What did he want me to do? He said it didn't matter. He wouldn't stand for it. And so he sent me to the little staff room to take off my pants and my shirt and pass them out to him so he could put them in the dryer to remove the unseen wrinkles. I still don't know why, but I obliged nervously. Did he have cameras in the restroom? I stood there alone in my bra and underwear. Literally passed out my clothes to him through the door. And I just stood there, just exposed physically and emotionally for at least 15 minutes. Dr. H, Germany, Austria, and now this? I wept. I just sat in the toilet and wept. What was I doing wrong? Clearly, I'm the common denominator in all these situations. I must be to blame. I must be doing something. Finally, after what felt like hours, he passed the clothes back to me. I got dressed and I wiped my tears away. I would not let him see me cry. He couldn't win. When I exited the restroom, he was smug and righteous, like he'd done me a favor. I can assure you he had not. I finished my shift with silent tears just streaming down my face. The poor people that went home with those cakes were like, why is this cake so salty? The next day, I quit quietly. I was embarrassed to make a big deal out of it. I'd already cost a man a job, had failed in Germany. I couldn't cost a business for an uncomfortable feeling. Maybe it wasn't such a big deal. Right? We do that. We start to counter things and justify them, partly because of pride. I sometimes play out how these scenarios could have gone. Right? They could have gone so differently. And I just weep. It's still like I have healing from it, but it's still like, even in the pain and confusion, God's hand of protection was on me. In recent years, when everything came out with the Me Too movement, at first I started to be like, oh man, like these poor women, like I don't have, you know, those stories. And God reminded me like, yeah, you're right. You don't have those stories, but you have your stories. I finally came to an understanding that indeed I was not in the wrong. As a mom of girls, these memories are the most tender to my heart. Because after each of these experiences, I began to believe certain truths about myself and others. That's what we do, right? We start to believe that we're the problem. If I was more meek and mild, then I wouldn't have conflict. Like, when you have three things like this in 6 months, you just look like you're high maintenance and you're bringing on problems. If I'm more meek and mild, then I won't have conflict. But at what cost? I will never stop fighting injustice, even at the cost of seeming too much. I'm going to continue to stand up against what is not right and good. And I'm going to encourage my girls to do the same, even if they look like they're too much. One of my daughters was volunteering at a summer camp. An older boy was making her and the other 13-year-old girl uncomfortable. He was always in their face, rubbing their shoulders. I wasn't there. I never saw it. But when she cried in bed and didn't want to go back, I knew there was something wrong. She told me, and I believed her. I didn't try to justify it and like I had been told so many times. Dr. H doesn't mean anything by, oh, really? He doesn't mean when he tells me what he will do to me intimately? That's not the law. Okay, as long as he doesn't do it to me, then it's okay. No, I didn't try to justify it. Instead, I validated her feelings. I thanked her for coming to an adult for help. People stop relying on adults when they don't believe that we're going to have their back. I asked her to talk with the other girl to see if she felt the same, and if she did, reassure her that I would help guide them. I didn't jump to conclusions. This boy literally could be just oblivious and meant no harm. But it didn't matter. My job was to teach my 13-year-old daughter not to ignore the discernment within, but to build trust that I am here to help. And then I sat back and I prayed and I asked God for discernment on how do I deal with this situation. In this instance, I talked to the leadership. We didn't feel the need to talk to this boy. I didn't want him to stand out, but I was going to remove him from this. We were able to move him to a work maintenance team where he worked with a group of men that could guide him. Girls weren't with him, and that my daughter and the other girl were now able to serve with confidence. He could have meant no wrong, but he could have. And what happens when the next person comes? All of our kids are going to experience something in their life where they need to trust that gut, that discernment that's within them. As our children grow and go out in the world, we're not always going to be there to protect them. But what we can do and are called to do is to guide them, to give them the tools and the community that they need to walk in confidence and be able to stand firm, to feel that nudge, to hear that voice of discernment that tells them to flee, to reach out for help, and that we will always, no matter what, be there. Not to fight their battles for them, but to come alongside and help them. I'm sure in those instances that my parents wanted to jump in. I remember leaving that hospital the first day just weeping. My dad wanted to pull the car over and go in right away. And I remember looking at my dad and being like, this isn't your battle. I have to do this. I have to face the giants. And my parents were never far from me. They walked alongside me, encouraged me. I remember that night, my dad picked me up. This is all before I even had a driver's license. All of these situations happened. My dad picked me up and I told him what had happened in the store, me taking my clothes off and passing them to my boss. He wanted to jump out of that car and I said, no, this isn't your battle. This is mine. And again, they guided it through. My dad did have conversation with that boss, but he let me fight those battles. And in every battle that I fought, I got stronger and more confident. I always try to encourage that discernment that's in my girls, that pit that tells them that something isn't right. And that's where even when we struggle, I think back to those years that I struggled with anxiety and fear. And gosh, they can still sneak up on me. You're never fully like recovered. It's just innately just a part of who I am. But what's amazing is sometimes fear is and discernment are so closely tied, right? The amount of times that fear kept me from situations because it was actually discernment. So teaching our kids, what does discernment look like? How do we know how to follow that and guide that? These are just snapshots of a one-time period in my life that happened in 6 months. I'm 41 years old and I have years of stories. But these 6 months were just so pivotal and so big in my learning that I need to rely on discernment. I need to stick so close to Christ so he can guide me. He is my helper and he can be your helper. I'm just going to pray over you today. I don't know where you're at. I don't know what you're struggling with. I don't know what you've been through. But I would just like to pray over you today in closing out this series. Lord, we just come to you. Maybe these conversations are bringing up stuff from our past, fears that we have for our future or our kids' future. God, I just pray today, wherever she's at, God, whether driving in the car, cleaning the toilet, listening on a walk. God, I just pray that even right now that you just work in our hearts. That whatever burden that we've been carrying, that we can give it to you. I thank you, God, that you came and you lived a perfect life and died on a cross for our sins and for the sins done against us. so we don't have to carry that. I pray that we remove the chains and the bonds that hold us, that make us believe truths about us that are not true. May we ask the questions, God, is this of you or is this of man? Am I wearing the layers that people have put on me? Or do I have freedom in who I am in you? God, I ask that you surround each and every person that's listening right now, that you surround them with people, a support system. Bring them to church so that they can continue to learn more truths. But I just ask that in all these things, that they are drawn closer to a relationship with you. That when we wake up to each day, that we just yearn for you. And in that, that you bring wholeness and healing in our lives. We just pray for every child that's represented through this podcast. As parents, we're just doing our best, trying to raise our kids to love you, to know you, to serve you. God, I just pray that we lead from example and that the kids that are represented on this podcast draw close to you, that they learn discernment, they know when to flee temptation, that they know when to stand up against injustice, that they are so tightly tied to you, God, that they know right from wrong, that they know your truths. And so we just thank you today. We pray that you bless every family. Give us beauty amidst the chaos. And it's in your name we pray. Amen.